Oh my gosh, I can't delete your podcast.
Yeah, like he thought we were legitimately trying to hijack his computer. And he ended his review with "Beware" in all capital letters, exclamation point. I'm like, dude, sir, we did not try to hijack your computer, sir.
Sir.
Please take your MacBook to the Apple store, sir. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Cultcast, Cultimax new podcast. It's the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long, period. I'm here with Buster Hine, Leander Caney. Gentlemen, how are you?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Pretty good.
Good. So guys, we released episode 1 of the Cultcast. And I'm sure by now you know, we've been getting a lot of good feedback. And for a while, we were actually the number one technology podcast in iTunes, which caught us all by surprise. Yeah. And I took lots of screenshots of that so I could prove it to people. Because we honestly were not expecting that. So thank you, everyone who's listening. And thank you, everyone who downloaded it. And more bizarre... For about, I'd say, 24 to 36 hours, we were actually the number 6th most popular podcast in iTunes, period.
What?
So I was looking at the most popular podcast, and it was like This American Life, NPR, something else. Cultcast.
No way.
Yeah. Wow,
all those other podcasts must really stink.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, This American Life is terrible. Ira Glass. He doesn't know what he's doing. He definitely needs to take some notes from our most excellent podcast. Well, let's jump into the news of the week. As you might expect, there are lots of juicy iPad 3 rumors and stories to talk about. And I thought to kind of get through all the rumors quickly, we could play a fun new game that I created literally several hours ago called Yay or Nay. It's a very complicated game, and here's how it works, guys. I'm going to read a rumor to you, and you're going to say yay if you believe the rumor to be true and that we're going to see that rumor happen, or you're going to say nay if you believe it to be inaccurate. Are you guys ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. Okay. First question. These are all about the iPad 3, by the way. Okay, yay or nay, we're going to see a high-resolution Retina display on the iPad 3. Buster.
Yay.
Leander.
Yay.
Okay, that's an easy one. What about this rumor, though, that's related? Apple is actually going to charge an extra $80 for that increased resolution Retina display. Yay or nay, Buster?
Nay.
Nay. It's like Leander.
I mean, maybe article. I don't know. Did they ever increase the price in the past? I mean, normally they've tried to stick to the pricing, to come out with a new model at the same prices. But they actually did increase it, didn't they, last year for the iPad 2?
Well, okay, let's flesh this one out a little bit before we continue. Yeah, I mean, I could see them. My answer is yay. I could see them doing this because the Retina displays are probably going to cost them a lot more money. And you know, when you buy a MacBook Pro, if you want the higher resolution screen, they charge you an extra $100.
Hmm.
So they've done something like this before.
Yeah, but that's going to make the base price, though, go from $499 to $599.
Yeah, exactly.
And compared to a Kindle, I mean, you know, that's a pretty big jump.
Okay, well, let's keep moving. We could talk more about that one. Apple is going to unveil an 8-gigabyte iPad 2 alongside the iPad 3. Buster?
Nay. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'll say yeah. I'll say yeah.
Actually, yes is not a valid answer, Buster.
Okay, I'll say yay.
Okay.
It'll be a cheaper iPad too, I think. Maybe not 8 gigs, whatever.
Okay. Buster, come on, it's 8 gig or not. Hey,
you broke the rule on the last question.
Okay, Leander.
All right, I say yay.
Yay. So I'm yay on this one. It makes sense to me. I mean, they did this with the iPhone, right, with the 3GS, and they introduced a new model, and they keep the previous model in the game by lowering the price. I think we're going to see this one. Okay, let's talk hardware. There's been A5X chips, which are not quite A6 chips, and both are out there in the nebula, and we could see either in the iPad. Are we going to see the A6 chip in the iPad 3, Buster? Yay or nay?
I want to say nay, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say yay.
You want to say nay? You think we're going to see an A5?
I feel like it might not be ready for the iPad, but the iPad 3 needs more graphic processing. So I'm going to guess that they use the A6 and the iPad 3 and the A5X and the new Apple TV.
Leander?
I'm with Buster. I say yay, too.
Exactly. Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm a definitely yay on this one. I think we're going to see the A6 for sure.
Quad core, right?
Oh, boy. See, I don't know the specifics of the A6. I don't know if it's going to be quad core.
It's quad core.
You think it will? You think when they release it, it's definitely going to be quad core?
Yeah, I did an article on it. I don't want to brag, but
I'm surprised you remember it. So you think we're going to see a faster A5X chip, which is basically an A5 chip that's a little bit faster and handles graphics better?
It'll be I said the A5X will be in the Apple TV. The A6 will be in the iPad 3.
Oh, okay, well then we agree. And yeah. Leander, is that what you were saying too?
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Oh, well, then I'm just confused. Let's move on. Okay, better cameras. So the iPad 2's cameras have obviously been really crappy. I didn't like them. Better cameras in the iPad 3, yay or nay, Buster?
Yay, but I don't think you need it.
Okay, Leander?
Yay, definitely.
Okay, that's an easy one. I'm a yay on that one, too.
What are you talking about? Of course you're going to need it with that, with a render display. It's gonna
Have you taken
awful.
Pictures on your iPad 2, though, before?
Yeah.
Like, why, though? Just like...
Well, we were, you know, my kids use it for making movies.
Oh.
Well, oh, really?
Use your iPhone 4, though.
What are you talking about? Give the kids the iPhone 4.
You'll give them the iPad 2, but not an iPhone 4.
And in future news, Leander's iPhone 4 is broken.
I know. Well, I'd be really in trouble if they did. That's why.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on. So this is a little. This one's not as obvious. 4G LTE. Buster, yay or nay?
I have a hard time saying yay, but I think somebody reputable said yay, so I'll say yay.
I think somebody reputable said yay.
And I go with whatever Alex Heath says because he's always right.
Leander, yay or nay?
Yeah, Buster's right about that. Alex is annoyingly right. He's always right.
But
yeah,
is he really?
I say yay too, and mainly because Qualcomm's got a new low power chip. The LTE chips are maturing. The reason they didn't put it in before is because these things are, you know, battery hogs. And all those Android phones you can get that are 4G, I mean, they go dead in about 20 minutes.
Wow, I'm a nay on this one. I don't think there's a chance we're going to see 4G LTE. I just think that the networks aren't ready. There's not as many people using them right now, and the battery issue is definitely a real issue, and I think we're going to see 3G on the iPad. I don't think Apple's going to adopt this until they have to. Why would they? Okay, so moving on, Siri integration. We've only seen it on the iPhone 4S. Yay or nay on the iPad 3? Buster.
Yay if it has 4G.
Yay if it has 4G?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That okay. makes no sense, Buster, but whatever.
Leander. Leander, yay or nay?
Yay. Okay. It makes total sense on the iPad, yep.
Yeah, I'm a yay too, but to be honest, do you guys use Siri very often? Do you find it to be useful?
I use it more for simple things, reminders, set my alarm because I'm too lazy, Siri, or if I'm texting in the car.
Are the exact use cases that I use it for. Leander, do you use it very often?
No, to be honest, actually, I had my, you know, it had slipped, but I started using it again, yeah, for those kind of things. And my kids are obsessed with it.
But other than using it for Siri, set a reminder in 30 minutes, Siri reminded me to do this in an hour. I mean, do you guys use it for web searches? Do you use it for any other different scenario that I can't think of?
Not really, because Siri doesn't really understand me that well. I've been using the Galaxy Nexus, and Google's voice, it understands me a lot better than Siri does. So I don't use Siri that often.
It's your weird accent, Buster.
Yeah, I know. It's because your accent
is definitely bizarre. Leander, does it have a hard time understanding what you're saying?
The Queen's English? Of course not.
You're like, Siri, remind me to take out the trash in 30 minutes. Yes, Governor. Yeah.
No, the rubbish.
The rubbish bin.
No, it's it seems to understand. I don't know. It's totally inconsistent. You know, sometimes it's like uncannily accurate, and then other times it can't even understand, you know, the most basic thing. And that's a problem, you know, the why I never used it is because it was like, you know, after a couple, it gets something wrong a couple of times, you're like, oh, you know, it's just easier to do it manually.
Totally. And actually, it has a really hard time understanding me too. My Siri, I joke about it all the time. It never understands what the hell I'm saying. And you're right. After two or three tries, you're like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my life talking to this device. And it doesn't know what I'm saying, and it can't do what I'm asking for. It especially has a hard time when I ask it to call somebody in my phone book. And if the person's name isn't like, you know, Todd Henry, then it doesn't understand the name, and it never knows what I want it to do. So they really need to work out those bugs, I think, and before I really start to use it. And plus, I find that if you need to search for something, it's just easier to use something with a keyboard than it is to like search with your voice. For some reason, I really only find myself using Siri when I need it to do something very specific for me. Did you guys find that's right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, let's move on. This rumor has been around for a while, and it's surfacing its head again, and that is Apple is going to begin production of a smaller form factor, like an 8-inch, 7.85-inch iPad in the third quarter of 2012. Buster, yay or nay?
Nay.
Leander, yay or nay?
Yeah, nay. No chance.
Wow. Okay. I'm a yay on this one. I think that this is possible. I think this is more possible than not possible. Although I do enjoy being wrong.
What's the point in that if they have a cheaper iPad too, though? That's
right.
I don't feel like they have to compete with Kindle personally.
I don't feel like they have to compete with Kindle either. I feel like they could if they wanted to, and they would sell a ton of them. I don't feel like they need to. But I guess I don't really see this happening. Like, I'm not 100% on it, but I think it's more probable than not. Well, because they could really crush Kindle if they did this.
I'm sure they have some prototypes, but I just don't think those will ever hit the market.
Yeah, Apple doesn't mess with screen sizes.
Yeah,
it'll mess up all the apps and the app experience.
Actually, that's a really good point. I'm a nay. We're in agreement.
Yes, we can.
You've convinced me. No, you're right. Especially with the resolution thing, they don't mess with that. Like once they set a resolution, they're very hesitant to change it because they're basically making all their developers do a ton of work.
Yeah, so, which that's the problem with the Android is you have 50,000 different screen resolutions and everything like that. So some apps work with this phone and not that phone, and it's terrible.
Yeah, and it's a very disjointed experience for all the different users. I totally agree.
And the Kindle, you know, the issue there is the price. You know, it's a success because it's dirt cheap. And I think if Apple drops the price on the iPad 2 within $100 or so of the Kindle, I mean, you know,
that'll be a monster. Compete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I honestly don't think that anyone ever makes a decision. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think very many people make a decision between a Kindle and an iPad because they're two totally different things. That's like, should I buy an Audi or should I buy an old used Honda? It's like, that doesn't really make any sense, right? Because they're two totally different devices. They're way different in feature sets. And the iPad is obviously much more refined.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. You guys are going to think this is silly, but I think it's still worth talking about. Is the iPad 3 going to have a home button? Leander, let's start with you. Yay or nay?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh no, what do I say? Yay.
You think it's going to have a home button?
Yeah, Buster? Totally.
Did you ask me?
Buster. Can you stop giggling and answer the question?
You confused there by mixing up.
I was just thinking about how much Alex Heath has just been giving us a hard time about it.
I have to say
it will have a home button.
Okay. Well, we've seen conflicting reports that it will have a home button and it won't have a home button. I'm a yay. I think it is going to have a home button, but I think this might be the last home button we see. Home buttons are great, but you know, Apple doesn't like buttons.
And you need a home button, though. That's the thing. You have to have one, I think.
Well, some of the Android tablets have soft home buttons, and that actually works pretty well.
Have you used your Galaxy Nexus, though? I hate that it doesn't have a home button. Like, that's like one of my biggest problems with that phone is when it doesn't have a home button.
Yeah, it's not so bad. But the home button is actually you know, it is a pretty good device. I guess you maybe right. Yeah, I haven't actually used the Nexus that much, but the home button I do like on the iOS. You know, my muscle memory is totally trained now to use it. So
yeah, that's another thing is I'm used to that home button always being there.
Yeah,
I am too. But don't you think they could replace it? I mean, don't you think the brilliant Apple engineers could replace it with a gesture?
Well, you'd have to retrain yourself, wouldn't you? There already is one, isn't there? There's the five finger swipe, whatever it is.
The five finger pinch down or four finger pinch to the home screen on the iPad. But the home button has other uses as well, you know, multitasking and then also resetting the phone, things like that. So you'd have to adjust for that as
well.
That's
a good point.
That is a good point. Yeah, and I use those functions all the time. Do you think that they maybe would get rid of the hardware home button and replace it with this, like, a touch sensitive home button, kind of like the software fix that Leander was talking about?
I could see something like that maybe happening, or you could move some of those functionalities of the home button to maybe like the reset, change it to the volume buttons or something like that. So there's other options, but it'd be definitely changing the experience, like in a bit of a weird way.
They really only need one button. You press it once to like close down to the home screen, you press it twice to bring up multitasking, you press it three times to raise the volume, four times to lower the volume. If you want to put it in landscape mode, you press it six times. If you press it 12 times, it force quits the app. Okay. I mean, it's just so simple. It makes a lot of sense to me that that's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that wraps up all the Apple rumors that I could possibly think of. Let's move on to Apple stock price. It's at $545 now, which is the highest it's ever been. But you could say it's been at the highest it's ever been for the last 2 weeks now. Yeah. I remember probably at the start of the recession, I think it was mid-2008, I had a good chunk of cash, and I was thinking about buying some Apple stock. And at that time, can you guys take a guess how much Apple stock price was?
$200, $199, something like that.
Hold on. What do you think? I have the number somewhere.
Okay, well, Buster's cheating by looking on the internet.
It was about... Oh, shoot, my numbers got messed up.
You just did a story about this yesterday, right?
I was going to do a story, yeah. It was about, 100... Somewhere around 100 billion was the market cap.
Well, the per price, the per stock price, which is a terrible way to say that, was about $74.
$74
a share.
Jeez.
That was when everything was the lowest it could possibly be. And it had dropped quite a bit, as everything else did during that time. But I was like, man, you know, like, I really believe in Apple. I think they've got some great products coming out. And long story short, I didn't end up buying stock at that time. I did buy it later. But Apple stock is just, I mean, it's a behemoth. It just keeps going up and going up and going up. We just recently published a story that Steve Wozniak thinks it could hit $1,000 a share, right. Crazy. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, I was just going to say that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's probably it probably still is cheap at $550. I mean, all the Wall Street analysts were saying that it's underpriced. You know, it's undervalued. That really? Wall Street has always undervalued Apple. Always.
Yeah,
it's been kind of nuts. I mean, you can look back over, you know, like all these years have been following the company. They've always undervalued it, and you know, even at $550, it's you know, it's cheap. Although, of course, you know,
you think so, huh? I mean, like,
who can afford to buy more than a couple of shares, though? That's a problem.
Yeah, right, huh? I mean, it's like $550 for one share. okay, sorry guys, we're back. We were having a little technical issue with Leander's audio. Leander, you sound great now.
Oh, okay. Let's clap my sexy British accent's back.
your sexy British accent is driving a lot of the traffic for our show. So we've got to make sure people can hear you loud and clear.
Well, what I like about Steve Wozniak is, I mean, he admits himself, you know, he's not a stock analyst, so he could be wrong. But he makes a good point that Apple's not just, you know, one big company. They have so many big divisions within Apple. You know, you have iTunes creating a lot of business. You have the iPad, iPhones, and Mac. And in the past, it was just the Mac and OS X was their whole business. And they keep creating basically huge companies. And then, you know, they're going to have the iPad 3 comes out. And then they have the Apple TV. When that comes out as an actual television, that'll be huge too. So they have a ton of room for growth in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you know, I think that their stock price really depends a lot upon these innovative new devices that they release. So in the last, you know, few years, you've had the iPhone, which has just been, you know, a behemoth. I mean, in the last 2 years, it's sold more than, you know, Apple has ever sold ever of Macs. You know, it's sold millions and millions and millions of these things. It's putting crazy. BlackBerry out of business, you know. Right, and then they came out with the iPad, and that's been incredibly successful. So they've had these two iconic devices that have been driving sales. But what are we going to have in the next 2 years? You know, it's like we're going to have a refreshed iPad. We're going to have, you know, them sell more iPhones. Is the Apple TV, the true Apple TV, you know, where it has the screen and everything, is that going to be able to drive revenue like the iPhone can?
I think so. But you also have, you know, Apple's in these markets with the iPhone. They don't have the huge market share as well. So they can keep getting market share. Do you know anybody who's bought an iPhone and then said, oh, I hate this, I'm going to go to an Android phone? I mean, you just don't see it that often. You see Android users converting to the iPhone after a couple of years. And I think that's going to keep creating the iPhone business to be even bigger.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's the iPhone in China, right? I mean,
oh my God, yeah. Well, Tim Cook was talking about some of these numbers at the last quarterly conference call, earnings call, saying that you know, these numbers are huge, but you look at all the people who don't have a smartphone or an iPhone yet globally, and those numbers are massive.
Yeah, you have India and China; they don't use iPhones there. And once those markets open up, you have a whole new ball game.
Yeah,
that's really true, especially in China. So, and if that's the case, I mean, my gosh, who knows where this is going to end? I mean, I wonder if Apple is going to eventually split their stock, because that would create a ton of value for people who are already stock owners, right? Because you split it in half, and then all of a sudden it's affordable, and it goes right back up.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the Apple TV, the true Apple TV. If Apple can do it right. And it really is as good as I'm kind of expecting it to be, where it's so much better than TiVo. You know, it'll be better than all the boxes you can get from Comcast and your cable provider. I mean, think of how many people in the U.S. use one of those things every day, especially people who already have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And they could control this thing with their iPhone or their iPad or their MacBook, and they could send content back and forth. I mean, one of the reasons Apple does so well is because you use one device and it works so well, it convinces you to buy another, right? Like the iPods did for the Mac.
Right. Yeah. Well, they've got this beautiful ecosystem. I mean, this is what all the other Android tablet makers, this is their biggest weakness. I mean, with the exception of Amazon, none of them have a content strategy. And, you know, what's a slate? What is it? It's a flat screen, right? You know, how many hardware improvements can you make? How can you differentiate your hardware from another tablet? You can't. It's in the apps it runs, in the software. Mm-hmm. And that's where Apple's massive strength is. And, yeah, I think, you know, like the TV is, you know, ripe for disruption. It's a totally broken model. Everyone hates cable. And it's exactly what Steve Jobs said about wireless cell phones. You know, before the iPhone came out, people used to hate their cell phones.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true now with television. And people are spending a lot of time on their, you know, on their iPads, and they're looking at a lot of, you know, a lot of content, a lot of apps. And, you know, that's clearly becoming one of the sort of primary screens. And being able to broadcast that via AirPlay to your screen in the living room, I think will disrupt TV.
Yeah, I think when you say it's ripe for disruption is right on the nose. I mean, it's such a bad experience. I have a TiVo, and the TiVo is supposed to be like the best of what's out there. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you firsthand, TiVo sucks. The menu systems are really hard to understand. My TiVo, all the time it does this. I'm trying to record a show, and it's like, I can't schedule this. You already have something scheduled. But it won't tell me what's scheduled. It never tells me, so I can't cancel anything unless I go in there and manually check. And it's little things like that where I always think to myself, I'm like, Apple would never do this. You know, like, it would never work this way with Apple. Apple would bring it up and it'd be like, I can't schedule this because you have XYZ scheduled. And would you like me to cancel one of these? Would you like to shift them around right from this menu so that you don't have to worry about it anymore? And I'd be like, yes, thanks, Apple. And I'd get on my Ouija board and thank Steve Jobs personally. But, you know, TiVo can't do that. And every time they release a new version of their software, they just happen to release it with a whole new TiVo box, and they want you to buy that whole box to get the new user experience, which is also some BS. It's like they should just do a software update like Apple does. and probably will on their TV. Oh, that'll be cool, right? Your TV, your Apple TV has a software update waiting for you. And you're like, oh, dude, what's my TV going to be able to do now?
Yeah, just like, you know, your iPhone changes and your iPad changes. It gets better functioning as you're using it.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm, right.
Oh, let's move on. We got one more story that I want to talk about. This was news today, and it's about AT&T. And as everyone knows, AT&T has a bad rap for throttling their users when they reach a certain amount of data. Well, previously, that limit of data was kind of unknown. It was really unclear and vague, and Apple or and AT&T just kind of throttled people on a case-by-case basis, and they would use, you know, percentages to tell you you're in the top 2%, you're being throttled. So they've come out today and said for unlimited users, if you go above 3 gigabytes a month, you are going to be throttled after that point. I guess my question is this something that we should be okay with, that AT&T is throttling us at all? Do you guys care that you're going to be throttled at 3 gigabytes? Do you ever get throttled? Buster.
I haven't noticed that I've gotten throttled, but I don't use my phone for a lot of my heavy tasks or anything. I do use Spotify a lot, so maybe I am getting throttled, but I never have checked in on it. In some ways, yeah, it's, you know, if you're paying for unlimited, you should be able to get unlimited access. And I think that, you know, that's it's in some ways it's wrong of AT&T. And then in other ways, you know, you do have to maintain the networks and make sure that it's actually going to work for everybody. So it's a tough place for AT&T to be in, but if I'm going to be paying for unlimited and they're going to charge me for unlimited, I should be able to get it and they shouldn't be throttling me. So they should be changing something in the way that they're marketing their unlimited plans. You know?
Well, you can't get them anymore. I mean, these were grandfathered plans. Right?
That's true, yeah.
They used to offer unlimited plans and they stopped that one last year.
Yeah,
so these I still are people, have one. Yeah, right. And so, but people were, you know, they thought, oh yeah, great, I got an unlimited plan. I'm grandfathered in. I'm a loyal AT&T customer. You know, I had the first iPhone. I've been with AT&T all these years. I've got this great plan. They're letting me keep it, aren't they great? And then you find out, oh, they're throttling me.
Yeah,
you know, I can't actually. This unlimited plan is actually pretty limited.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that's what people are up in arms about.
That's definitely what pisses me off. I'm like, what the hell, AT&T? You sell me an unlimited plan. You call it unlimited. And Buster, you and I had a conversation about this. Remember that conversation we had about, I saw that ad. It was a Verizon ad, actually. And they were selling an unlimited data plan. In an asterisk in small print below, you get an unlimited data plan for X price. It says unlimited under up to 5 gigabytes.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes absolutely no sense. Like, it's unlimited to 5 gigabytes, which means it's a 5 gigabyte plan. Just say that.
Right. Well, they can't sell a 5 gigabyte plan, can they?
Because everyone would think it was bullcrap. They'd be like, right. I don't want to buy a 5 gigabyte plan because, hey, look, you know, I rarely get throttled, if ever. My iPhone is almost always using Wi-Fi, but I think it's the principle of it for me, and I think that's the thing of it for a lot of people. It's like, don't tell me you're giving me an unlimited plan and you're charging me for an unlimited plan, and then be all coy and actually have me on you know, some type of limited plan where I start getting throttled, and you start, you know, you start making my plan such a hassle that it makes me want to switch to one of your more expensive or slightly less expensive data plans, right? It's like, just be forthright about it.
Well, Buster has a good point, though, which is that, you know, it's a limited resource. In fact, the FCC said today, right, they were going to turn over unused TV bandwidth to the wireless carriers to try to, you know, free up more bandwidth. Like, when I was in line for the iPhone 4S last year, this guy behind me, he was like from Georgia or something. He said he just moved here to the city, and he was talking about how he loved San Francisco, and he was saying that for some reason, I don't know. Anyway, so he had an unlimited data plan, and he had jailbroken his phone, and he was tethering it to his computer, and he was using it for everything. Like, he was downloading torrents through his through his phone, using up like about 15 or 20 gigabytes a month of this unlimited data plan. And he's going, "Isn't this great?" And I'm thinking, you know, dude, man, you're burning up all my all our bandwidth. I mean, no wonder I can't get on in the mission because you're hogging the whole thing, you know.
Right.
See, so
it's people like those guys should be throttled, you know. I mean, you're taking advantage of it, you know. And that's the thing is AT&T, they do have to guard themselves because it's not like there's infinite infrastructure to support everybody. That, you know, it is like a finite resource. You can't have all of the cars in the world go on the same highway at one time. And that's the problem that AT&T is dealing with. And it's tough for them.
Okay, yeah, but I understand that. But, I mean, AT&T, let's say this guy is not technical. AT&T is telling this guy, you have an unlimited plan. Why wouldn't you do that stuff? If you have an unlimited plan, right? It's like, oh, awesome. I'm paying for an unlimited plan. Well, the reason I'm paying for that plan is because I don't want to be limited. I want to download torrents. I want to, you know, download anything I want without being restricted. And then quietly, AT&T is saying, oh, well, he's using all the bandwidth. Well, you told them to use it. You told them it was unlimited.
Well, no, right. I totally agree. It's a problem with the marketing that they're doing with it. And I completely agree. It's wrong, you know, to say unlimited up to 5 gigabytes. That's, you know, that's not unlimited.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Leander, you know, what were you going to say?
That is a total scam.
Well, it's that joker, like people like him who ruin it for the rest of us. You know, like, I think you should be able to have an unlimited plan. That's totally, you know, we should be able to have that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But it's like AT&T, I think, was saying that it was like, what, 2 or 3% of users on the unlimited plans were eating up tons of bandwidth. And that's why they were doing it on an ad hoc basis. But then I think that one guy won a court case, right?
He took him to small claims court and won $850.
Yeah, but he opened up this can of worms, you know, for everyone to sue AT&T, you know, who'd been moved off this unlimited plan. So that's why they were clarifying it today, I guess.
Well, that makes sense. Now it's like, well, now you know what your limits are.
Yeah, and I guess I'll weather that storm.
Totally. I mean, they should clarify what they mean by unlimited, too, because I think it's a misnomer because they say unlimited. And when you say unlimited, most people think that you mean unlimited data, which is what Comcast means when it tells you you're unlimited. But what AT&T actually means is you're unlimited in speed up to a certain gigabyte level, and at which case you're going to be throttled. I think if they were going to say unlimited speed, then it makes more sense because it's like, oh, well, your data is unlimited, but once you get to, you know, 5 gigs a month or 3 gigs a month or whatever, it's like we're going to throttle you like crazy because you're using more than anybody else, and we want to make sure they have a good experience on the network. So it's just marketing, you know, gobbledygook.
Right. They definitely got to change that practice of selling people unlimited plans that are limited. I mean, that is outrageous.
Yeah, that's. It's a scam.
I'm a yay on that. We're all in agreement. Well, hey guys, we are out of time for the week. This has been a good show. Thanks for being on. This is CultCast episode 2. CultCast is the best 30-minute conversation you're going to hear about Apple all week long. You like hello? I took that. Hey, Buster, if I wanted to find you on the internet and you read more about what you have to say, where would I do that?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is BST3R.
And Leander, you have a really sexy, creative Twitter name too, right?
it's L. Caney.
And that's K-A-H-N-E-Y?
That's it.
Okay, great. And you can find me, I'm at Erfon on Twitter, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, you can always follow Cultomac on Twitter. That's just C-U-L-T-O-F-M-A-C. I probably did not need to spell that out. Buster, we're up to like, what, 230,000 Twitter followers now?
We're getting close to 230.
That's awesome. Well, thank you to everyone who's following Cult and Mac on Twitter. New episodes of CultCast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next time. Buster, we've been getting lots of good feedback on Twitter, right? Not all good, but some good feedback.
Some good feedback. Here's one comment from AppleGirl596.
Is that really her username?
I don't make these things up.
Okay, good.
It says, OMG, Leander Cotty's British accent is so hot. I love this podcast. Okay, all right. And then there's Jose Cervantes, who says, best ideas you guys ever had, all caps. Haven't even heard it yet, but I already love it.
Yeah, right.
Great job, guys.
I felt terrible when I saw that one because I'm like, we can only let him down.